This season of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is proudly brought to you by Casio Electronic Music Instruments.
So I guess what's really special is that I remember really clearly during my days at the conservatorium, in one pedagogy class, when the professor points out that life is too short to play the pieces you don't like. So hence, we sort of go by that motto, and then we really want to establish this learning ground where the next generation can really benefit from the joy of learning something that they really like. So it's to that complete flexibility of choice of pieces.
Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
G'day everyone, and welcome back to Series 1 2018 of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. You're listening to episode number 119. This is Season 1, episode number 3. And if you're one of my Inner Circle Piano Teaching community members, a very special welcome to you. My name is Tim Topham, your host for this show. And if it's your first time here, thank you very, very much for tuning in. I really do hope you enjoy the conversation we've got planned for you. For those of you who've been listening for a while, thanks again for choosing to spend time with me, and I hope you've now all taken the chance to download the Tim Topham app from your favorite app store in order to easily listen to these podcasts on the go. If not, definitely check it out now. Just go to the app store and search for Tim Topham, and you'll be able to download it in no time at all. The Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is the place where you can get weekly inspiration, ideas, business, and teaching strategies to help support your teaching and grow your studio. Today's show notes and full transcript are available now at timtopham.com/episode119. In many places around the world, examinations form an important part of music instruction, but there tends to be a few limitations in the structure of traditional exams, including things like the requirement for long booking windows, the challenge of live performance for many students, the need to have extensive technical assessments and prepare for that, and the limitations in repertoire in some situations. Today's podcast unpacks a potential solution to these issues, which leverages the power of examining online. My guest today is the head of school for the Con Brio School of Music here in Sydney, Australia. He began his studies in piano at the age of 11, and his passionate temperament and piano virtuosity have won him numerous prizes and scholarships in major competitions throughout New Zealand and Australia. He completed his Bachelor of Music in Performance in 2006, and then the Graduate Certificate in Piano Pedagogy with distinction in 2010, both from the Sydney Conservatory of Music, where he is now a senior piano teacher for the Open Academy. Peter Wang, welcome to the show.
Nice to see you. Nice to meet you, Tim. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Look, I've been tracking what you guys have been doing with the Con Brio online examinations in the last few months and been meaning to speak with you. So it's great that we get the chance to share some news about what you guys have been up to. But what I'm really interested to do is actually start with just a quick overview of the Con Brio School of Music in Sydney, which I now know from my research is where the name has obviously come from. So you actually run a school of music in Sydney. Can you tell us just a little bit about that before we get into the exams?
Yeah, sure. Basically, Con Brio School is something that we've established for over 10 years now. And this is something that ever since we graduated and then me and a couple of my colleagues, we started. And we've been running the school for over 10 years, and then we've been doing a lot of teaching and examining and competition and participating in local estafettes. And we've had some great achievements throughout the years. And we've also had the MB Shield over the past couple of years. And it's making all, let's say, quite festive. And then we're all looking forward to the next chapter of our Cumbrill platform. Yes.
Right. And how many students do you have at your studio, and what instruments are they learning?
We currently have over 500 students, and then have a team of over 20 teachers. And then they do piano, violin, saxophone, cello, singing, and across many
full mix.
Major instruments. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, it's a big studio. There you go. Well, let's start with just a bit of an overview of Con Brio examinations. there'll be obviously many, many people listening to this who currently use a different exam board. So, yeah, just give us the overview. We'll go into some more specifics later. But, yeah, just give us the overview of what it's all about.
Sure, no problem. My pleasure. Combrew is an online music examination which provides quality music assessment and performance evaluation for students around the world via the use of internet and video sharing platform. An interesting and highly educational feature of the Combrew exams is the free interactive music syllabus. This serves as a music encyclopedia, consists of over 20,000 pieces from classical masterworks to trending popular tunes, all carefully graded by our team of professional musicians. And what I really love about it is that with a click of a button, students can view performance videos of their favorite pieces, as well as to purchase the sheet music online. Successful music candidates will also be featured in our Hall of Fame and our social media page. Currently, there are students accumulating over thousands of likes and over 100,000 views on their performance videos. So I guess we live in a world of internet and technology. By utilizing a fun and flexible and interactive music exam system that targets all the important aspects of music development, we can really make music more attractive and enjoyable for the new generation of students.
All right. So when did you start working on this idea?
My team and I, we started this Combrew exams project about 2 years ago. So this was sort of after years of market research around the world. We've been to China, we've been to US, UK, and we found that the music education sector is quite divided and localized. For example, we have the, the IELTS exam, English testing system for English grading across universities and colleges around the world. And we also have Michelin star system for restaurants. And there's just something missing for music and music exams. So a missing universal benchmark in the industry, I guess.
Yeah, there's certainly exam boards like the ABRSM that has an international standing around the world. I'm interested to know, I guess, what made you decide to start your own from scratch, rather than, of course, one of these some of these exam boards have been around for decades, if not even 100 years, and they could obviously do what you're doing. So, what made you decide to go, you know what, I think this is needed?
Yes. You're a very experienced educator yourself. I'm sure you're familiar with all the major examination boards that's on offering at the moment. There's the UK exam board, the Trinity and ABRSM. And in Australia, we have our own AMEB. There's also the IMEB and ANSCAR, which caters for the New Zealand candidates. In China, there's over about 20 different examination bodies, almost one for each. Yeah,
didn't know that.
One for each of the different provinces. And then they have their levels, they range from grade 1 to 10. While in Japan, their biggest examination body is actually conducted by the Yamaha company, where they start from grade 13 and work all the way backwards to grade 1 being the highest level.
So really? There you go, to be confusing.
Yeah, just to be confusing. So what we noticed that being in the industry for so long that everyone is doing their own thing. So when it comes to the music exams, so this creates some problems when people not being able to recognize the standard when they go international, and then when they go abroad. For example, a teacher in the US wouldn't understand what an AMEB fifth grade level is, nor would a teacher in London, let's say, would understand what a Chinese level is. So we wish to build this ideal music assessment platform where students can go anywhere in the world and have their standard just understood and recognized. And this can be made a reality with modern technology and the internet. We have in the past experienced international examinations such as Trinity and ABRSM, but I guess due to the physical logistics and the actual structure, the model, the business model, it makes it quite hard for them to assign quality specialty examiners to Sydney or New Zealand or just other parts of the country because of the demand when the demand is so high.
Right. Okay, so I get exactly what you're saying and the reasoning behind it, and there's no doubt that to be able to have a level that is internationally recognized. So someone that is at grade five level, everyone knows what that actually means, would be actually quite helpful. The challenge, of course, for you guys is building something and then getting enough traction that it becomes a standard. So we'll talk about that in a moment. I see from your website that you've got a pretty big team there behind you, and there's some names I even recognize. Can you tell us about some of the key players that are helping you with this?
Yeah, fantastic. So we're proud to have a team of professional board members supporting our project. Many of them are all active concert musicians, if not master teachers in their instrument, reputable professors and chair of units from conservatories all around the world. We have Steinway artists to YouTube sensations with a million followers. So we want this music learning to be without boundaries, hence the diversity of our team. Many of our board members have built their reputation and either guided students to great success, won international competitions, or have been a huge positive influence on the music community. And they all strongly believe in this making a change, let's say, because these existing international examination board has been around for so long. And I think it would be nice to have something quite fresh and then just and as an alternative for students to choose from. And it's something more appealing to the modern generation of students.
That's great. And so, look, I can tell it's obviously not just like a bedroom enterprise. You've obviously got a number of people involved at different levels, board level and managerial level. Is it a separate enterprise to your music school?
It is definitely a separate enterprise, and that is correct. So we are privately funded, and we have a board of directors who are passionate about working together with our esteemed board members in making a change for the industry. I believe this also addresses an important element that has affected the music industry lately, globally. So very often we see great music festivals, estafettes, competitions, orchestras, concerts. So sometimes they go downhill or disappearing due to insufficient funding, the lack of volunteers on many levels, I think, especially in the classical music world, you see. So Combrew has supported and sponsored numerous musical events and festivals in the past in Australia, from local regional competitions, estafettes, to concerts held by international artists. We have had the Dean of the Sydney Conservatorium thanking us for supporting our fellow Australian musicians. So we believe that with a growing online music community and quality music assessment on this platform, we can really do a lot to sort of boost the industry and to give more concerts, to give more live live events, to really make it happen. Yeah, just bring together everyone.
And so apart from the issues with grading internationally, are there any other issues you see with traditional exam boards?
Well, first of all, I'm not here to criticize the traditional exam boards. Sure. I mean, I have very high respect for all of them.
I've seen a lot of your students have been recognized by people like the AMUB, of course, for their their achievements. So, yeah.
I have high respect for all of them, and I do think they play a very prominent role in every student's music learning. For as much as students and parents, when they say they do not learn for the sake of exams, they all learn under this framework. I think they're just so important in society. But then there are a couple areas I think we believe that it could be improved under the traditional system. Well, let's say I've listed out sort of three main areas. So first of all, there's the limitation of choice of pieces. So very often with traditional system, they only have about 10 or so pieces to choose from for each grade. AMEB has actually one of the largest syllabus on the market.
It does.
And their intention to connect with modern students is, I think it's just fantastic, and it's highly commendable, as we can see in their leisure edition, Leisure Baseball. I really love some of the choices that you and your team have picked there.
Thank you.
I'm really a big fan of those. And second point is the limited exam sessions that the current examination they all, let's say, fall under, because how often do music teachers have to plan their teaching plans according to these sessions? What happens when a student joins halfway into the year? Maybe they might not be able to sit an exam for that year. Or if they unfortunately do badly in the diploma exam, they have to keep the same pieces for another 6 years, say 6 months. Year
to hopefully not 6 years.
Exam again. That's right. Hopefully not 6 years. Sometimes it does happen. And what if they have, let's say, school exam that coincide with the exam session themselves? So I think this flexibility of exam time is quite important, as we spoke with many, let's say, tertiary level professors. they really believe that to have something that does not interfere with their teaching plan is quite important. And thirdly, I just feel that the structure of a traditional exam that promotes something that is quite, let's say, closed and a bit secretive. What we believe is that music is about sharing, is about sharing your music, sharing your performance. So in the traditional system, whether a candidate walks out of the exam room with an A+ or fail grading, we never know exactly what happens inside. So we all, as you know, all the teachers or parents are to kept outside of the exam room. So hence, we often hear people saying, oh gosh, how did this person get an A+ and how did so-and-so get a C when they play brilliantly? So we never know what's inside. So our platform is about showing yourself, is about when you do well, then there's something that adds to your portfolio and you can demonstrate to other viewers, other online community, or just even use it as an audition tape. Later on, we can go in depth with these areas too.
Mm. I hadn't thought about that last area of the exams being such a closed system, and it'll be interesting to unpack a little bit about how you open that up. I think definitely the second point you made with regard to the timing of things is always difficult. And often exams have a very big lead time as well. So you've got to book through 2 or 3 months in advance, and sometimes you have no idea if your student's up there. Yeah, so I totally get that those are some good advantages.
Yeah, we've done some market research and spoke to many, many teachers. They find it quite frustrating at times just to plan the month ahead when you don't know what's going to happen, or when the students are ready and then there's not an examination available, things like that.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So tell us how the gradings work, and also what the repertoire is, what pieces can play, students can play.
So basically, the grading works similarly. We sort of follow the UK tradition, starting from preliminary to grade 8, and then the diploma levels, a similar style that's implemented by AMEB and many other examination board. And our syllabus consists of 20,000 pieces, as I mentioned earlier. So there are classical repertoires, as we know, of Bach, Beethoven, Chopin, and all those many great masterworks, to themes of movies, games, or even arrangements of anime. Sometimes they are quite virtuosic themselves. But what I'm really excited about is this unique feature that we've developed, that we are encouraging all students and teachers to include pieces of their own choice. So they can include compositions or just recent new additions, just new additions to our library. And then these will be, let's say, examined and verified by our team of experts within 5 business days. It can be included within our library. So I guess what's really special is that I remember really clearly during my days at the conservatorium, in one pedagogy class, when the professor points out that life is too short to play the pieces you don't like. So hence, we sort of go by that motto, and we really want to establish this learning ground where the next generation can really benefit from the joy of learning something that they really like. So it's that complete flexibility of choice of pieces. And I'm sure you're an experienced educator. You would have seen students, the kind of the difference in their passion and enthusiasm when it comes to something that they really enjoy, and truly not having to learn because they were told to learn, but then actually learning something out of their own will.
Right. And giving students that autonomy is vital for motivation, in my opinion. So at least giving them a sense that they've been able to choose from a selection. So by my calculations, 20,000 pieces over 8 grades is about 2,500 pieces a grade that could be chosen. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right. We do have over 10 different categories in terms of instrumentation and voice as well. So we do have classical voice as well as operatic.
Oh, okay. So that's for all instruments.
Across all instruments, yes.
Okay. So if I was, let's say I'm going to put a student in grade 3, about how many pieces is on the list that they could possibly choose, just approximately?
Grade 3 for piano, you're looking at least hundreds. And then I've actually all, let's say, categorized them into sort of baroque period, different period of music. And mm-hmm. then there's that modern period, the classical, the romantic, the impressionistic. So they're all categorized. So it's like a more database. Yeah.
Right. And how many pieces are they required to present for an exam?
They only need 3 pieces.
Yeah. 3 pieces. So and do they have to be like the other exam boards, contrasting or from different categories?
It is recommended, but then they can actually specialize in a particular area. And then what happens, I guess the flexibility we're trying to promote is that, I guess coming from the education point of view, that we all know that Beethoven did not wake up one day and decide, oh, I'm going to write a piece for at least it's going to be in fifth grade. So every one of these sort of grading, it can only be approximate. We're trying our best, let's say, to determine its grade, basing on their technical difficulty, musical integrity. So hence, in our exam, all they need to do is to choose one piece from the grade, and the other two pieces can be on choice or of the same level or above. Yes.
All right. Sorry. Okay. So only one from the syllabus, and then two can be own choice as long as it's at the right grade level. Yeah. And don't worry, Peter. I know exactly how hard leveling is from doing the Piano for Leisure series. It is the biggest challenge if you ever create syllabuses or music books of any type. I know what you mean.
Yes, we're trying our best to let's say to have a progressive learning for candidates, but it's not easy. Yes,
right. So I mean, it sounds very open. I mean, if you're only having to do one that is specified by you guys and two that are own choice up to the teacher and the student together at the right level, that's a huge amount of flexibility.
That is correct. Yes, right. We do have. So basically, you can choose, for example, if a student wants to sit for third grade, they can pick one third grade piece and two fourth grade pieces, something like that. Yeah. So right. So basically, we're using the purpose of the music syllabus, the library, as a reference for students to understand, oh, this piece, this certain piece is harder than the other one, and then so that they get an overview of which one are the more difficult, which are the more moderate and the easier ones. Yes.
Right. So I'm thinking that for teachers listening, they could pretty much pick any piece that they are regularly used to teaching at, grade three level, and it will pretty much be in there, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. So let's talk about the actual exam now. My understanding is that students submit recordings of the exam pieces that are video recorded and that they're not done live. And so that obviously means that they can have multiple goes at, they could do 100 takes to get this right, right? So how does that work in the exam sense?
That is correct. If they choose to do 100 takes, I guess it's fantastic for their own learning. I guess when I was an examiner, we were taught to see through the candidate's nervousness and other, let's say, varying factors to assess truly on their capability. So I guess the use of performance recording as a valid reflection of one's musical skill is becoming a trend with all international competitions or conservatories. They are all accepting videotapes and for auditions or preliminary rounds. So this is getting recognized as a medium that's actually valid for performers. So if as an examiner, if we want to hear the candidate's true ability, then it doesn't hurt for the teacher and the student to actually make that effort and put together something that's actually what they're satisfied with, that their best performance. I mean, we want to hear their best performance, so we might as well assess on their best capability. Because sometimes if students aren't capable of achieving, let's say, a distinction level, they won't achieve it even after 10 or 200 times.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor, Casio Electronic Music Instruments. As many of you will know, if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, I've been trialing out the Selviano Grand Hybrid Piano in my studio, and it's now become my main teaching and my own practicing instrument, and I've got to say that I'm thoroughly enjoying using it. Of course, many of you will know the benefits of a hybrid piano, including things like the recording functions you've got, the choice of different sounds, the fact that students or yourself, you can wear headphones while using it, you don't need to pay removalists to move it around your studio or house, and the fact that it never needs tuning and obviously limited maintenance. So they're all fantastic, but how does it actually sound and feel to play? Well, pretty amazing. And I'm not a concert pianist. So to me, this is absolutely as good as a full length, normal acoustic grand piano. And it does have all the wooden keys and the normal mechanism you'd expect. So what I would really recommend you do is head to soundtechnology.com.au to find out where your local stockists of this instrument are, and go and test one out today. I really believe that you'll find not only is it a fantastic instrument, but it's also at a price point that really sets it apart from its competitors. So I guess, and we can leave it up to the judgment of people who are listening to decide whether this is right for them, but it's these exams are not assessing an ability to perform live under pressure.
Yeah, I guess
it's a different assessment.
It's a different assessment, and we're coming from a different point of view, and I guess this I mean, how often, let's say, great pedagogues in instruments, they all talk about recording yourself so that you can actually reassess yourself, if you reevaluate. So this can actually benefit and assist with their live performance eventually. So
Absolutely. Well, I use getting kids to record themselves, or I record them in lesson as a practice tool, because it puts them under pressure. You know, as much as they're not going to a room and being obsessed live, they're under pressure when they're performing for a recording. There's no doubt about that. So I see benefits in both ways. And it's interesting to hear that this is a way that a number of the competitions and auditions are going in the future. Currently around the world. I wasn't aware of that.
Yes. Mm. It's actually getting accepted as a proper form of assessment round. And there are competitions which are just based on submitting your video clips of your performance too.
Right. Yes. So I was going to ask you about how you ensure that a student's playing is their own, but I'm now kind of picturing that the student is being video recorded. So unless it's a really bad recording, you'll be able to see that their hands are moving in time and the sound's coming out at the right time, right?
That's a very interesting question. And especially we've been asked that a lot. And then I guess if we come from a different perspective, when we think about the authenticity of traditional exams, we all know how, let's say, easy it is for one person to actually substitute another person's exam. Because often in traditional exam, there's only a notice for examinations. There's only a name. Sometimes you don't even know if there's a boy or a girl. I guess that with a recorded examination tape, that there's actually something that's documented, so we can actually verify with the photo. And what's very interesting is that we have actually developed our Combrio examinations app, which is available for free on Google Play Store as well as the Apple App Store. What happens is there's this very interesting, unique feature of video encryption. So to make sure that the embedded in the video recording function, ensuring that the video submitted is not modified from the original, for example. So this ensures a more authentic documentation of their performance too.
Right. So when a student submits their exam, it's actually done through the recording process on the app that you've designed. Is that right?
Yeah, so they can choose to do that, or they can set up a more professional recording, let's say, microphone with video cameras, and then have it uploaded to a third-party YouTube platform. That's also fine too.
Right. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I actually hadn't thought about that that idea that anyone could actually rock up for an exam. And you're right. It's just if they've got the piece of paper and they look like they're ready to do grade one, then they're in there, I guess. So that's an interesting one.
I guess because, as you know, AMEB is actually asking candidates of higher level, grade 8 and above, to actually bring their school IDs. And because this has happened in the past, and a lot of students actually getting substitutes to perform.
Really? Isn't that funny? I'm so naive sometimes.
Yeah, so sometimes when you think about the authenticity, it's a problem that all major exam boards face, yeah.
Right. Okay, so one of the other biggest issues when it comes to exams, and one of the things that teachers are most likely to complain about, is inconsistency between the examiners. And everyone knows that, Rebecca's the easy one and she'll give all the A's, and, Julie is a real hard one. So how do you guys ensure consistency between your examiners?
Well, that's a very good question. I guess the consistency between examiners is the biggest challenge for all exam bodies, really. And I think what's very exciting about our platform is that we're trying to make it a bit more open, a bit more transparent, so that with the video recorded footage and then the distinction players will get featured in the Hall of Fame, and then there's actually a platform for them to show to the audience, and then so that they can see, a strong candidate or a distinction candidate, how they sound like. And then this is actually quite fun, and then something that's quite motivational for students. And then often when the student perform, they want to be seen then by a large, audience. And I guess if there was a discrepancy in the actual assessment, having a recorded footage of the actual exam performance would help immensely to ensure an accurate appeal procedure is performed as well.
That's true. I know that bodies like the AMEB, the ABRSM, et cetera, that perhaps all of them get their examiners together quite regularly in a room. The ABRSM is incredibly strict, and every year they're tested to a standard. So here's an exam. Watch this video. Let's all rank it and see what we come up with. Are you planning something like that for your examiners?
That's correct. Yes, we do have a lot of exam training materials for our examiners as well. Yes, for our examiners to undergo the similar process as well. Yeah. But I remember even my own examination trainings back in the days with one, let's say, particular candidate's performance, let's say a demo exam footage, there could be a range from B plus all the way to A plus, like a different ranges from four different categories of results coming from all different examiners.
Right. But I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? That's what you guys have to make sure it doesn't happen because, you know, and it's the same with marking HSE and VCE. And I know that I've got friends that are markers and are teachers. And when they're marking, they every 10th, 20th paper or something goes somewhere else and someone cross marks it and makes sure everyone's on the ball. So it is really important is something that is obviously you're looking at the moment. Are all your examiners in Australia or are they around the world?
With our growing examiners team, they're actually from all around the world. We have Australian examiners, examiners from UK, US, Hong Kong, China, and more. And then they cover a whole wide range, and then they're all different background examiners as well.
Great. And so what criteria are students assessed against? And is it just a grade or is it numeric?
It's numeric, and then it works a little similar to a university sort of marking criteria. We have the pass and pass with credit, and then distinction and high distinction levels. And Comber examinations assess all exam video based on the following sort of five areas. We have the accuracy of note and rhythm. So for each of the pieces, it falls down to five categories. Then the second is the technical development and fluency. The third is the quality of tone production, phrasing, and articulation. And fourth is stylistic understanding. And the fifth is performance expression and communication. So by using modern technology and a recorded performance, our examiners can give actually a very accurate feedback and comment to help the student development. For example, because following the footage of the exam, we can say how the passage at 1:23 in the left hand is a wrong note, or something's not held, or something should be staccatoed. And this can all be done, let's say, quite specific, yes, on that. And this has all received really positive responses from teachers and students who have actually trialed our system.
Great. And is there any technical work requirement?
No. So what's very interesting is that for as much as we appreciate, let's say, the benefits of scales, sight reading, technical work, oral and music theory, we believe that they are the work that too should be done inside the studio with your teacher. And then what we believe in this particular platform is that we believe that the ultimate goal for performers, for students, is to deliver beautiful performances. Hence, it's a
performance assessment.
Yeah, yes,
understood. And so you've mentioned that your leveling is similar to what the ABRSM does, or the English tradition, I think you called it. Does that mean that how are you aligning your grades with equivalency? Is it because I know the ABRSM, for example, is a little bit different to the AMEB.
That's correct.
And different to ANSCA. So where are you guys going to sit?
Yeah, so we do have an extensive comparison chart with all these major traditional examinations listed on our website. So students can check how the Comber exams grades correspond to the current examination board, for example, the AMEB or the Suzuki or the Yamaha even, let's say. Yeah, so we have a whole list of comparisons, yes.
And just as an overview, is it fairly close to what the Australian or English system is?
Similar. Maybe sometimes some pieces are a grade higher or a grade lower, but due to the flexibility of our system, student can actually work around and they can actually transition quite smoothly into our system, so they don't have to do, let's say, further preparation to learn up couple pieces or something.
Yeah. Right. Great. And how do the costs compare? Because I assume it's costing you guys less in some ways because you don't have buildings and rooms and heating and all that kind of stuff. So, what are the expenses for parents?
R&D costs because of the research and development, our IT infrastructure, as well as our marketing and then just on the promotion worldwide. So, but then our prices are very competitive. For our preliminary exams, it starts for the Australian market, it starts at $60 Australian dollars, goes up to $300 for the highest diploma level. So in general, our cost for exams are roughly around 30 to 50% cheaper than traditional exams. And we are also rolling out a single piece evaluation, performance evaluation, which are great for, let's say, student preparing for STFIDs or competitions or for HSC, or just something that if they want a quick assessment of their particular piece, and then they can submit it through. And then this is just done at a cheaper, let's say, enrollment fee, and the student can test out the system as soon as they have something ready.
Right. How many studios or students or teachers, I don't know how you market, have tested the system so far?
Oh, we have over hundreds already, yes. Right. So it was very exciting that we launched the system roughly mid last year, and then our first outside of Australia candidate came from Singapore. Mm-hmm. And we also had kids from UK and Malaysia. And then it's very interesting to see how people from different area, how they learn, and it's the sort of teaching environment. And yeah, you see a lot and you see a good variety of candidates through that.
And I assume as it grows, you'll develop software which will allow the submissions to be allocated to various examiners and shared out and that sort of thing.
Oh, that's what
happens, right?
Yeah,
great. I'll start kind of wrapping things up a little bit. Combrio exams are obviously pretty new. So if a student says they're in grade 6 level Combrio, how long will it be, do you think, before schools and universities might know what this means?
Great question there. Currently we're building the Combrio name and our branding. Our board members and with their signatures on our certificate will be something that most schools and universities will recognize and understand that these board members do not associate themselves with anything of an inferior quality. Our name is spreading fast. We have had our music library used by just local private schools, boys and girls school right here in Sydney. It was recently used for a music teacher trying to pick the class next song to sing, let's say. So it's something that's quite educational and people are using it. And I'm sure with our growing exposure and the recognition to our system, major education body will start to understand more clearly what we are doing and what we stand for. We are already achieving, we already have quite some exciting achievements happening with one of our Hall of Fame candidates moving up to the international stage, being one of the youngest participants in the coming international menu and violin competition. And then so you can see his footage on our Hall of Fame page, and then there's a boy playing the violin fantastically. And then these are the sort of footage that really the kind of training that takes them to international stage. Yeah, so they're... It's coming from a different perspective to all the traditional examinations. And I think for a lot of teachers and students, they can work hand in hand. Just they can work this as an assistive tool for their studio. And then there's a number of great benefits.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, as you say, it's like starting anything new. It'll take a little while for the word and the name to get out there and for people to understand it and know what it means. So I wish you all the best with that. I noticed on your website that you've partnered with some artists and organization. It says, you know, partnered organizations. What do they mean? What's that about?
Yes, that's great. Yes. So as you know, we're attracting a lot of attention, especially in the overseas, with major music schools and institutions wanting to work with us. And we wish to work and establish affiliates with schools around the world, because after all, our platform is about connecting musicians, connecting all music lovers together and building an online music community where they can self-assess and assessed by professionals in the comfort from their own studio, as well as sharing their performance to a global audience.
Right. So the idea for you is that obviously if you can connect with a number of schools around the place and they start using your system, then that will obviously grow the traction for people using this.
Yeah, that's right.
Great. So look, we'll wrap it up, and I'm going to let everyone know that the best place to find out about your exam system, this new online exam opportunity, is at Conbrio exams.com. I think I've got that right, haven't I?
Yeah, that's correct. Thank you very
Fantastic.
Much.
Yeah. Is there anything else that that we've missed covering in regard to these? I hope there aren't people thinking, oh, I wish you'd asked this question. I think we've covered it, but anything I've missed?
No, I hope we've covered most of the elements regarding our platform. And then for more information, it's all laid out on our website, and we do have our app available to download. I'd just like to say a big thank you, Tim, for this amazing opportunity to share our examinations with you and your audience. And please do not hesitate to give our system a try, and we're confident that you won't be disappointed.
Oh, well, thank you. And look, I'm always happy to support, well, one, to find out more about new innovations that are going on in music and your connecting music and technology and assessment all together. So I'm really happy to support it and find out more. So yeah, I'll be keeping an eye on what you guys are doing.
Great. Stay in touch.
Will do. Thanks so much, Peter. See you soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
Bye. I do hope you enjoyed today's interview with Peter Wang about the ConBrio online examinations. Make sure you check them out if that's of interest for you. I'm always very much pro teachers exploring different options when it comes to exams. If you tend to use one exam board and there are others available to you, then why not try it out with a student, particularly if that other exam board has some things or offers some features that perhaps suits that student better than the exam board that you know really, really well. It's good too because it will give you a little bit of a push and expand your horizon slightly, particularly if you're very much in the grind of one exam board. So check it out. A few reminders before we sign off. Firstly, my next webinar is next Wednesday, the 28th of February, 8 a.m. Melbourne time. It's called Easy Creative Repertoire Wins for Any Studio. And it's all about how you can effectively mash up the music that students are already playing and get creative with it without without too much stress or hassle or worrying about too many things. There are just some simple tricks that any teacher can use with any piece of music to just, you know, get a little bit more creative and have a bit of fun with it and deepen the student's understanding around the content of that piece. So that's Wednesday, the 28th of February, 8 a.m. Melbourne time. So that's Tuesday, the 27th, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. London, which is 5 a.m. Singapore, Hong Kong, and Perth on the Wednesday morning. Sorry, you guys, and 8 a.m. here in Melbourne time. So look out for that. To sign up, head to timtopham.com/webinar. And also for those teachers who are in Tasmania, I'm actually coming down to Hobart, not this weekend, but the next. That's Saturday, the 3rd of March, to have a full day with piano teachers down there. Part of it will be talking about the new AMEB Piano for Leisure Series 4. And I've also got some other ideas up my sleeve of some fun things we can do together. So if that's of interest and you live in Hobart or Launceston or anywhere in Tasmania and can get down to Hobart for Saturday, the 3rd of March, please head to the AMEB Tasmania website for more details. Next week in episode 4, I'm featuring one of my Inner Circle members who is on the podcast to talk about the 5 simple tips to improve your piano studio website and why you need to do this today. After the release of our online studio launchpad course last year, we had lots and lots of members seeing a big increase in new student enrollments via their website, and some now have some quite considerable wait lists without a whole lot of work. It's amazing what the power of the internet can do. It was due almost exclusively to updating and tweaking their website to maximize the chance that people will firstly find it and then respond to it when looking for lessons in their particular area. So if this sounds like something that you could do some help with or get some tips on, then make sure you tune in next week again for episode number 4. I'm Tim Topham. Thanks for listening. This is the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon PIANOPODCAST for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.